You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And save her, better believe it, get on her knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
In the old ways and in the old paths, we did everything with stories. Indigenous people all over the world taught lessons with stories, remembered history with stories. Oh, and even things like recipes, ways to cook or ways to tan hide or ways to find the best water or hunting grounds. They were all told in stories. In the old paths, everyone was homeschooled. Right? Because everything you needed to know, you learned at home from your elders, from your medicine men, from your spiritual leaders, from your warriors, your hunters, your mothers and grandmothers, matriarchs. We told stories to teach you about baskets. We told stories to teach you about arrows. We told stories so the next generation could tell them to their children and their children and their children, the seventh generation and beyond. My granddaddy used to say that nobody ever really passes away. They're still alive as long as someone talks about them. And stories told us about people who were important to our lives and our family, our friends. Leaders, people who had done great things and had interesting lives, but also people who were important just to us, made a beautiful difference in our lives and the way that we walked in the world. So stories were also entertainment. In the cold and the dark of the winter, or in times and seasons when we couldn't be outside, depending on the weather all over the world, stories were a season. We had stories to learn, but we also had stories to entertain. I mean, long before streaming or any kind of digital entertainment, we had storytellers. They could tell stories that made you feel like you were there when it happened, on a great adventure. They could tell stories that were wise and transmitted lessons and culture. They could tell stories that corrected things that were wrong by reminding us of how to do the things that were right. They could tell stories that just simply made you feel like you had gone on a journey because you were hearing about it. We used our imagination, but we also used our hands. Sometimes people would tell stories and they would be words and people would listen and they would use those words to imagine what it must have been like, to experience it through all the senses as they imagined what happened. Yet there were also other people who would take those stories and make them into beadwork or pottery. Paint the story like art, draw, color. Some of the stories that we know now and that we tell now all over the world have also been drawn or painted or beaded or sculpted. These are wonderful ways to remember these stories There are stories that have foods that go along with them. There are stories that have dances or songs that accompany them. There are stories that remind us of who we are. My great-grandmother used to say, we're not that kind of people. When people did something or suggested something or wanted to do something that she didn't feel met with the high standards of her family. Stories do that too. We see what happens to people when they do good things, and we see what happens to people when they have a bad mind. And we get to decide who we want to be and what we want to do. Stories give us an opportunity to grow. They give us an opportunity to know. They give us an opportunity to show, too. I mean, sometimes you can show someone better than you can tell them. And a story does that for us. Like an extended metaphor. I could tell you not to be greedy, or I could tell you a story about what happened to someone who was. I feel that stories often are released into the world to heal. And that means stories can be medicine, too. I'm a person who speaks from the heart, just like right now. I'm not a manuscript preacher or a person who uses notes, but I feel like sometimes the right story drops into my heart to tell at the right time, and it helps someone. I know the stories I've heard have certainly helped me over the years. We think of stories as the old paths and traditional stories, and I believe that is wonderful. I am absolutely sure that that is fantastic. But I also believe that stories are more than we can name. Stories are whatever we need them to be whenever we need them to be, just that thing. If it's a dark and cold and stormy night on the plains, the story becomes entertainment, maybe even diversion from the storm outside. If it's a child that needs to learn a lesson about their behavior, then that story becomes correction. If it's someone who needs to remember how to do things, then that story becomes a manual. How do you go about this? How do you make it work? I don't know every story all over the world, but I do know something about every story all over the world. Each one of them starts with love. A love for the culture, a love for our relatives, a love for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and their children and their children and their children, a love for the land and the earth and the water and the sky, the plants and the animals. It starts with that. That we cared about this so much that we want to remember it, and we want to be able to tell the future generations exactly what is happening. And what happened before. And another thing that stories do is they make us immortal. They let us live on in the hearts and the minds of our seventh generation, our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and their children that may never meet us in the flesh, but will know us by the Spirit. That's why it's so important to be a good ancestor. I know other cultures think about legacy in terms of their descendants and how that reflects on them, but we think about our role and how it reflects on our future generations. Every decision that we make should be considered to the seventh generation. If we do this, who will suffer? If we do this, who will grow? If we do this, what else will there be? What else will we be able to do? What will happen? And why? stories have another purpose. And I don't know if people talk about this as much as we should, because we do concentrate on the traditional stories. We concentrate on the old past, and we should. People died to make sure that they kept those stories alive, the language alive, the traditions, the culture, the world as they knew it for their future descendants. But I do believe that stories create understanding, peacemaking. Why did we do it that way? Why didn't we do it that way? When I tell you a story, I'm telling you something about myself and the way that I see the world. And so stories have an incredible power of peacemaking in them, because it allows you to see just for a moment the world according to someone else. Empathy, compassion. Those are developed through stories, too. Stories are the initial source of social emotional learning. When you hear what happened to Brother Rabbit, or you hear what happened to the Pleiades, if you hear what happened to someone from a culture other than yours, you can have great understanding and empathy. And when they hear what happened to the animals and the plants and the earth and the sky and the people of your culture, they can extend compassion toward you. And that makes peace. That is absolutely peacemaking. I don't know how many times I've had to say this, that when the dominant culture says, how are you? They respond with fine, okay, good, and everybody moves on. But for many of us in indigenous cultures, when you ask us how we are, we tell you a story. What happened at the grocery store? What did I see on my walk today? And I'm not talking about a long, drawn-out story. I'm just saying that we share stories like currency. We trade stories. And now you know a little bit more about me, and I know a little bit more about you, and you can see the world through my eyes a little bit better. And maybe, just maybe, that's a chance to heal and walk in peace. I don't know everything about stories, but I know a lot of stories. And I know enough about stories to know that each story is a gift. We can think of it that way. Our nonprofit, Wells of Victory, our Indigenous Inspiration Academy and Indigenous Inspiration, Indigenous Mama, we have many gatherings virtually of storytelling and transmissions of teachings. And people do see those as a gift. I'm convinced of that because of the way they respond. People have tears in their eyes, they laugh, they donate, they want to come back, when is the next one? But now we need to see the stories that the elders tell us as a gift. You're riding in the car with your parents and they start telling you about when they were young, that's a gift. You're visiting the elders at the elders center or care home, and instead of thinking, oh no, this is where we have to spend our Sunday, think, oh my, the stories they tell us are a gift. They paid for those stories with their lives. And we can learn from them. My granddaddy used to say there's two ways to learn anything. You can make mistakes, or you can have mentors. And stories are mentors. When your grandparents told you about a similar situation they were in and how they dealt with it, that's to keep you from heartbreak and harm that they experienced. Stories can protect you. I can, because you can think back about a time this happened and what you did and why you did it and not make the same mistake again. Learn from someone else's story. They did this, and it cost them dearly, so I won't. That's even true of the small, true stories we see on social media. People tell us their experience with something, and we can actually then apply it to our lives if it's true and genuine. I wonder, when it comes to stories, if we're remembering to add our own. I have been gifted so many stories, and I'm so very grateful by my elder relatives who understood that I had an interest and cared about these stories, and so they gave me these stories. Learn to tell it just like I tell it, my uncle used to say. Oh, you need to tell this one. And then they'd tell me a story. I would meet their friends. I would meet elders of a different generation, and they would give me their stories. Just sit down and tell me a story. And I remembered. And how I know those stories were meant for me, I never had to write them down. Just over the years, I would remember them, and they would be in my spirit. And when I needed to tell them, I would tell them. And then there became a time when people sought me out to tell these stories, because the elders are leaving us, especially with the ravages of the pandemics, which are still ongoing. And so a lot of our top-tier elders have been leaving us in a hurry. And so now it's those of us who are much younger, youthful, younger people, not elders yet, that have to remember what they said and make sure the seventh generation knows it. Our children and their children and their children and their children and beyond. There's a sense of urgency now about stories. We can't wait any longer. We can't wait until our birthday, we have enough birthdays and seen enough winters till we get to that point and we're 65 and up and we can start telling stories now. We have to tell stories now. We have to tell them today. We have to tell them immediately. We have to tell them. It's an urgent matter. Because if we don't tell them, they won't be told. And the next generation will be without them. And so, I've reached a point in my life where I get invited now. People ask to hear stories. They ask me to tell stories. They say, oh, you're a wonderful storyteller. Could listen to you all day. And I used to think, well, you know, I should be an elder. But there's too many years between now and then. And these stories need to be told now because the children now need to learn them. Know them. Preserve them. Keep them. Tell them themselves. Some of the greatest storytellers I've ever heard have been children. I mean, you ask an adult what happened at the pumpkin patch, and, okay, great. Ask a child who went on the same trip to the pumpkin patch, and it's delightful. But as we tell these stories, I think there has become a hagiography, where people say, oh, it's got to be told exactly like Uncle So-and-so told it, and don't, you know, deviate from the way Mama told it. And those are beautiful, wonderful stories. And we should be very careful to tell the stories in a good way. But there's no such thing as perfection. And if we wait to start remembering and sharing and telling and knowing our stories until we get them exactly like someone else had them, that day may never come. And so I think the most important thing about storytelling is to have a good mind and a good heart when you tell these stories. Oh, now, I've been thinking about this a lot because modernity is the whole point of survival. Not assimilation, not changing, not renouncing the culture, not cultural appropriation. But the reason that we survived is so that we could keep our culture and keep our traditions. And that means these precious stories from indigenous people, tribal people all over the world are precious and important. But if we don't come with them into the future, then they become relics, fossils, potentially. These beautiful, wonderful stories of the old paths and the old ways which we so dearly love must be accompanied by people. What I mean by that is that I believe we should tell the stories of the old paths in a good way. And those should be our treasured traditions and ways of doing and being right. But we should also begin to tell our stories too. What happened to you? And I don't mean drama. I don't mean a reality show. I don't mean that. I mean, for example, you're telling a story of how Gadua Mound came to be. And then you share the stories of your time as a shell shaker or a stomp dancer at that mound. And right there, we place that beautiful story, historical, traditional, tribal story, in context of what it means now. How something came to be, and what it means to me as a tribal person now, is incredibly powerful. I'll prove it. The cookout! One of the best things about any cookout, especially in the South, among families of color especially, is the stories. Whether you call them tall tales or fish stories or woofing or any stories that people tell about themselves, their lives. You listen to the elders, you know, and they'll tell you some stories and you'll be amazed, you'll be laughing, you'll be enjoying these stories so very much. Those stories are important too. The stories about the beginning of days and how things came to be and the old paths are so precious. They are treasures and they're gems. And it reminds me of a little song I used to hear. Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other gold. And I think about those stories that way. That yes, we have the precious treasures of the old paths that the old ones fought and survived to be able to hand down to us. And then we have the sweetness of the stories that are about our lives, our kinfolk, places we go, things that we do, all kinds of things that are wonderful and memorable and important and precious, and we get to be part of all of that every time we tell our stories. It is an ache in my soul that our son, who is named with the same name as my beloved granddaddy that I quote all the time, will not have a chance to meet him in this earth and this life. And so I tell him about him. And one of the reasons I quote him all the time is because I love him and I miss him. And as long as I'm telling people the wise things that he said, which people love so much that they keep asking me to write a book, can you write down all of his quotations? Can you write down everything he ever said so that we can read it and know it and keep it going? And you know what? That keeps him alive in the earth because people remember him and people who've never met him were like, wow, that was some good advice or that was a good story. And you know what? It is. It really is. And so when we think about the people we love, whether they're still here or not here, when we tell stories about them or the stories they told us or stories in their honor, do you know what that does for us? It allows us to see them alive and vital and vibrant and moving around in the earth and the impact that their lives had on us. Isn't that wonderful? Oh. And so when we talk about stories, I want us to consider thinking about our old and traditional stories, but also thinking about the stories of now. Talk about our families and talk about our culture and talk about the ways that we do things. They have taught us these good, wonderful ways, and we keep them alive like this. Because that does something wonderful for our children. Because it personalizes these things and it makes them relevant to them and to us and keeps them moving forward in a good way.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage. Scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play. Or click on subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio. The way it should be heard.
Hey, it's Ryan Blaney, driver number 12, Discount Tire Ford Mustang. In the NASCAR Cup Series, pit stops to check my tires can make all the difference in getting a win. Off the track, regularly check your tires can be the difference in avoiding an accident or making it safely through the long road trip. Stop by a local tire retailer for a tire safety check on your vehicle or check on your tires, tread at home, use the penny test.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Now, we tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
I slept in a lot of different rooms, different beds, but none of them really felt like mine. I spent 14 years in foster care, mostly in group homes. And I never had much stuff because I always had to be ready to move. Why get things if you just have to let them go?
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a forever family and a permanent home of their own.
Now I have my own room with walls that tell my story. I love hanging out in here. I play dress up with my sisters and I sing and make videos. But the best part, knowing I'll always have a place to go and a family that loves and supports me.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Presenting Great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Now, when I think about stories, there's one thing that comes to my mind that is really important for me to share with you. We need to know the difference between sacred and secret. One time I was listening to the elders, and I got to do that a lot. And it's a privilege and an honor just to sit quietly and really benefit from their wisdom. And they were talking about cultural appropriation. They weren't using that word, but they were talking about doing things and were they sacred and were they, how should they be done and all of that. And the conversation pretty much split into two camps. One was like, these things are sacred and we shouldn't share them with the outside world. And the other camp was, oh, well, but all people need to learn, and oh, it's okay, and all. And they were all discussing a way that culture was being presented because of the great amount of tourism near the reservation. And my granddaddy, who always took a long time to think about things before he talked, and he always pondered his answer, and, you know, sometimes he would see him, and he'd say, now, about that. And you're like, about what? It was always like an ongoing conversation that you had for a long time. And he would be referencing something that you had asked him days ago. he had thought about it and prayed about it, and he had a good answer for you. And if you listened to his answer, oh my goodness, he was right. But he said this, and I hope I remember it correctly, but it really helped me. He said, you know, the Vatican welcomes tourists. They want everybody to pray. So do we. And they tell people about the love of God. We want to do that. He said, but you don't see them letting everybody back in the back where they keep the cups and saucers. He said, some things are for some people, and some things are for all people. And that stayed with me even as I wrote my novels. There were things that I thought about writing about, and I realized, no, that is sacred and secret, right? It belongs to God, and it belongs to us, but it doesn't belong to everyone else necessarily. All God's ways are good because God gave us our ways, and so everyone has ways that God has given them. Right? God is still speaking. But the beauty of it all for me was that I could know the difference between sacred and secret. It's all sacred because God gave it to us. But some of the ways, the stories are secret, too, where we wouldn't be telling them to everyone, or we wouldn't tell them outside of a certain ceremony or a certain season, right? There are stories that you hear that belong to you, when you join the matriarchy, for example, or when you have your manhood or womanhood ceremony at puberty, that wouldn't just be told at the cookout. And I think it's very precious to know the difference between the two. Which one are you going to use? Which one are you going to do? And so as we tell stories and think about stories, we need to remember that some things are secret and sacred, and some things are just sacred and shareable. And so as we learn these stories, it's very important that we remember context, right? That's why I truly believe that these kinds of cultural teachings need to be taught. I mean, it's wonderful. The internet can do so many things, but if you just read stories off the internet, then you don't get the rest of the cultural teachings and the tribal teachings that go with them. And sometimes that can actually cause harm or danger or difficulty. So I just ask that as we think about stories, we keep that in mind. Sacred and secret and wonderful things. These stories are priceless. We love them. But we always want them to be used for good. We never want them to be exploited or turned into bad medicine. We want them to be done in a good way. So if it's not that particular ceremony, or if it's not that particular time, it may not be the right time to tell that story. Doesn't mean it's not a wonderful story. Doesn't mean the audience isn't wonderful. It just means we need to do things in the right way at the right time. So sacred and secret, or just sacred and shareable, becomes a really important part of telling stories to every generation. And so I want all of us to think that way and keep thinking that way about these stories that we tell. Just as important in context is being appropriate with these stories. Some stories should not be told, even if they have talking animals. We shouldn't infantilize them. If small children are present and the story is really for adults, even if animals are in the story, or even if the story sounds like it would be interesting to children, we must know the context. Same thing with gender, same thing with, you know, other parts of the culture. So which story should be told? Which story should be told to whom? And how should these stories become part of our lives? There are many stories that can just be told. Right? They're entertainment. They're fun. They may teach us something also, but they can just be told. But there are other stories that have certain things that we must do in order to tell them. Do we need to fast and pray before these stories are told? Do we need to be dressed in a certain way before certain stories are told? Some stories can only be told to a group of women. Some stories can only be told if certain kinds of people are present. That's an important part of context when we tell stories. We must always tell our stories, no matter what, with a good mind. Right? The best storytellers I've ever heard are not condemning anyone. So if your child misbehaves and then you say, see, that's just like, and tell a story, but in your heart, you're using it, you're weaponizing it as if it was a punishment. Is that a good mind? As opposed to saying, you know, sweetheart, we love you so much and we want you to not get hurt or in danger. And so I would like to tell you this story because I would like to keep you safe. That is very different than using stories to bludgeon people or break their hearts. We must never weaponize the wisdom. I wonder if, as we think about our stories, we must think about our audience differently. It's easy to tell stories to the people who are sitting directly in front of you, and I think that's very important. But remember that every person sitting in front of you has ancestors and descendants. So when they stop listening to your story, they may well tell it to their future children. They have heard your story, and they may place it in their lives as something that's a reference point. And I think that's one reason why it's so important to use our stories with love, compassion, empathy. We all know people who can weaponize the Bible, right? They can pick out a scripture and they can beat you over the head with it and make you feel just terrible because that scripture is out of context or because that scripture isn't put in the frame of God's love for you. Grace is the gospel. And so if this scripture is picked and used to show you how bad you are, or that God doesn't like you or love you, that's a heartbreak. But the exact same Bible can be used to show you how much God loves you. Jesus loves you just like you are. You'll do better later. God's not going to leave you in this condition, but Jesus will help you. You see the difference? I mean, you can have a scripture that breaks your heart, or you can have a scripture that uplifts you and helps you to do better in life. It all depends on whose mouth it's in. And I believe traditional stories can be the same. You can hear a story and it can place fear in you, or you can feel condemned. Or you can hear a story and learn the valuable, precious lessons that our ancestors wanted you to learn. I don't think anybody ever got better by hearing everything that was wrong with them. I really don't, right? And what stories do is they allow us to speak gently and correct things. Societal ills, individual problems, tribal issues. Our stories can help us to correct those things in a good way that brings peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And our stories can also help us to reify and to exhort and to encourage the things that are being done well. Right? When we see our children sharing, we can tell them the story of the girl who saved her brother, and they know that sharing is a very good thing. There's two sides of the story of how the deer got his antlers. There's the rabbit who cheated, and there's the deer who wouldn't. And we can praise our children standing on the right side. There are cautionary tales, there are recipes, there are songs, there are dances, there's the material for art, there's the time for families and closeness with kinfolks, there's the entertainment and humor. So many Indigenous stories are really hilarious. If they're told by a good storyteller, oh, they can be wonderful, absolutely entertaining. And I think sometimes we see, especially in the age of the internet, where people just get the text, that people can tell them and they're actually like really kind of dry. When in reality, this would have been hilarious. Everyone knows what a beaver acts like. Everyone knows what, you know, a moose is like or an elk is like. And so when those animals appear in stories, people are like, oh, wow. There's also comedy and tragedy. Some of these stories are told by ancestors who loved us so much that they wanted to make sure that we didn't suffer the same fate. Of these characters in these stories. One of the greatest questions I get asked about storytelling is this real? And my answer is, maybe. But it's definitely true. And I think we have to understand that there's a difference between facts and truth, that the truth is the moral of the story, the main idea, the lesson, the wisdom, the knowledge in that story. Not necessarily whether squirrels can talk or mice can fly. Even though science is just now catching up with what so many tribal communities have already known, right? I mean, there's a wonderful article out about the medicinal powers of sage and cedar and sweetgrass and how they have antibacterial properties and can clean the air. And I thought, oh, you're not wrong, you're just late. And so I love how much we know. Indigenous people all over the world know about the world and beyond and beyond. There are great truths in our stories, just as powerful and amazing as the truths in any other books or stories or beliefs. And that makes them a treasure, a natural resource.
as one of my uncles used to say. And you know, as we tell our stories, you never know who's listening. The child in front of you that seems to be fidgeting and seems to be moving around may be the person who grows up to tell that story to their grandchildren. I wonder if we're listening to the stories we tell. I think we must see them as gifts. We must see them as cherished treasures and gems. We remember them that way. We tell them that way. If we think of them as good medicine, right? If we think of these stories as healing, we will tell them. Because we'll see someone struggling, or we'll see someone with an issue, or someone will ask us for advice, or we will want to discipline our children in a good way, and we will use these stories. Because we know that when they are told, the ancestors tell them with us. We were talking about this in a class of how anything is more accepted if it comes from people you love or who love you, right? Conversion narratives, strict, loud people who are telling you that you are evil and will burn forever are not necessarily as effective as people who have shown that they care for you, they love you, they want the best for you. That's why many people receive their first spiritual or religious teachings from their mothers, grandmothers, family members, because they're wrapped in the love that your kinfolks have for you. And so these teachings are gifts of love. When we give a story to someone, we are saying, I love you, but not just I love you. The ancestors that saved this story for you, that learned this story, that taught this story, that passed this story down through the generations also are bringing it to you with love. And it should be received with love. What would happen if we all began to tell stories to one another? And I don't mean a cacophony of everybody talking at once. I mean, what if we shared little pieces, little glimpses of our lives with other people, and they shared with us? You don't have to become super vulnerable or tell them something and blackmail you with. We just are going to tell them about our gardens, the animals who live on our property, the things that we love to do the first time we heard a certain piece of music, and why our favorite book is our favorite book. A time that we felt successful and happy and proud of ourselves, not proud maybe, but happy about what happened. And maybe a time when we didn't. What would the world look like in terms of building real, true, solid community if we told people that they weren't alone? That they're not just suffering in silence and having to grit their teeth and bear it all out, you know, just try to tough it out. But we were able to say it with great compassion and mercy. Here is a story. What would happen if we changed the stories that we tell ourselves? Rather than the materialistic and negative constant bombardment of the world, we told stories about how much we are loved. Loved so much so that people persisted and stayed alive in horrible and abhorrent conditions just so we could be here. What if we change the narrative from our failures and our faults and our flaws to the wisdom we carry and how much we are loved. We're human. We make mistakes. But these tribal stories, these indigenous stories, let us know that even those mistakes can be healed, can be medicine. I don't know every story. And I don't know every story that you know. I don't know everything about every story, but I do know this. Stories are survival. Even in the most difficult of times, if we share our stories and bring peace between us, we share our stories and strengthen ourselves and our communities from the inside. We remind ourselves of who we are and who we were meant to be and who we were created to be. If we take our stories and share our stories and place in our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and their children and their children and their children, the ancestors, what does that look like? I certainly am trying to find out, because that's why I do the work that I do, because I absolutely want my children and their children and their children and their children and their children to be indigenous thoroughly. And to do that, they need to know these stories. They need to have the stories that have been gifted to me, gifted to community, and walk them out in their lives. We talk about the action step, right? How can we tell stories? How can we bring the stories of our tribes and nations into our lives in every area? How can we take the stories of our ancestors and make them the story of our descendants as well? Oh, that's not a rhetorical question. This is a chance for you to think about that. Why are you telling stories? Should you tell more stories? The answer is always yes. As long as it's in a good way. And those stories are the right stories to tell, and they're told with a good mind and a good heart, they become medicine. Thank you so much for inviting me today. It's an honor to be here with you, and it's an honor to talk about something so sacred and gorgeous as storytelling. My novels, my creative writing, all these works that are published, and even the stories I tell now out loud, are all saying just one wonderful thing. That God loves you, and we do too. Thank you for letting me come. It's an honor and a joy. Now, let's go tell some stories.
Multitudes of people crying, asking for manna and pleading for quail, shouting, reaching, pushing, shoving, salt and oil, flour and lard. Eating is everything. Pass your basket. Have faith. He'll give us loaves and fishes.
What? stripes you can't see in the night. Once you see, you get it into a fight. At the build dog, I saw a frog. It was yellow, and I said hello. Then I should say goodbye, cause I gotta go tonight.
The world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.